Today we have come to a short two-part lesson regarding the scripture that is found in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5, this lesson entitled Preach the Word, instructions that Paul gave Timothy so that we might learn how and what we are to preach, and that we might learn the purpose of this preaching that is to be done, and avoid that type of preaching that is displeasing to God, but is so often accepted by so many today. Realizing that he was in God's presence, and Jesus is now Savior and King, and is coming again to judge him and all, Paul commanded Timothy to preach the word. And that is important because in order to preach the word, it must be realizing that we are in the presence of God now, and one day we will be judged by Jesus for how we have treated his word, and those of us who teach the word, how we have taught his word, and those who listen, how we have received and applied his word. Whether we preach our elders, teachers, or Christians serving in other roles listening to the word, we should understand and apply this charge that his word may go forth in his way to his glory. That is, we should realize what needs to be preached and under what circumstances and how it needs to be done, so that this is what we demand and this is what goes forth. Failing to do this, we might have something other than his word preached. It may be partially preached. It may be mixed with human philosophy, traditions, and opinion, which will not be pleasing to God. Also, we might desire to hear something different than his word, whether it be politics or social topics or topics that are trending or whatever the case may be, but we are not hearing the word of God. It is not being taught, and we don't desire it to be taught. Many, some among us, even churches of Christ, are preaching something different than the word, and many churches are tolerating such teaching and providing financial support to those who bring that corrupt teaching. And all of this is displeasing to God. And so we want to focus on the instructions, simple but very important, that were given to the by Paul to the young evangelist Timothy. We're going to read 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, Paul writing to Timothy, and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so this is the instruction that is given, and we want to take each part of this if we can. and examine each part and draw lessons from it, applications, so that we can understand and apply what the Apostle Paul is writing here to Timothy, especially to those who preach the word and even to those who listen to the word that is preached. We start out like this, in the presence of God and Jesus and by his authority, preach the word. Again, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Going into chapter 2, he says, verse 2, he says, preach the word. But it's in the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, by the authority of Christ, according to him ruling as king over his kingdom, and that one day he will be our judge. All authority has been given over heaven and earth to Jesus as he is ruling at the right hand of God as king after being crucified for our sins, after living a perfect life and being crucified, God raised him from the dead, and he ascended back to his heavenly Father after he appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And now, ever since, the first century has been ruling and is ruling now over heaven and earth, and has been given all authority by the Father to exercise rule. And that's what he told his disciples in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so they were commanded to preach the word by the risen Savior, who is now ruling in heaven over heaven and earth, directing those to preach the word, so that it may also be communicated to others, beginning with how to become a Christian, baptizing them for the forgiveness of their sins, Acts 2:38, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as mentioned here in this passage, and then teaching them beyond baptism, beyond them becoming Christians at the point of being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, raised up to walk in newness of life. Beyond that, teaching them all things, how to live as a Christian, so that these things also might be communicated to future generations. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. They will be able to teach others also. But as we teach the Word of God, we must be careful, if we desire to preach the Word of God, that we seek to be faithful and trustworthy in preaching the Word of God, and not for any other purpose, because we will be judged by how and what we have taught. And that will be something that should caution us not to add or subtract from the Word of God, or insert things in it to please the people, but that we stay right with the Word of God in context, so that we and those to whom we preach might one day receive that eternal reward instead of being condemned. James 3, verses 1 and 2, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body as well. So we need to be careful, because one day we will be judged by the same word that we are supposed to be preaching. What is that word that we are supposed to be preaching? It is the scriptures, the sacred writings that we find in the Old and New Testaments, the 66 books of the Bible. This is the totality of the word that has been given. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all scripture, sacred writings, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So the Word of God is the scriptures contained in the Old and New Testaments, but it is completely designed to meet the purpose for equipping us in the things that God would have us do. Learning from examples of faith in the Old Testament and examples of those who sin, that we do not repeat those things. And then learning how to be saved and live as Christians and worship and serve God in local congregations, as he would have us do in the New Testament, expressing our faith in Jesus in obedience to his will. Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 46, talked about the scriptures, that which existed in his time, that composed the Old Testament, that foretold, prophesied of his life, death, burial, resurrection, and even going back to his heavenly Father. Luke 24 and verse 44, now he said to them, talking to his apostles after he was raised from the dead, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Notice what he says. The prophets, the Psalms, and Moses must be fulfilled. And so that's the totality of the Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi. Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. That goes through verse 47 there. Luke 24, verses 44 through 47. But the totality of the Old Testament is the scriptures. And then those writings of the New Testament are included in scriptures, including the writings of the Apostle Paul and other inspired men, guided by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, the Lord is going to come again, and the earth and everything is going to be destroyed by fire. And then humanity is going to be judged by the Word of God. 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. And so the words of Paul are described as scripture. And so we have those letters in the New Testament, 13, that we know of for sure that the Apostle Paul wrote of those books in the New Testament. Then in 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 and 18, we have Paul quoting Deuteronomy 25 and verse 4 and Luke 10 and verse 7. And he calls those passages scripture. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, this is Deuteronomy 25:4, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. And Luke 10 and verse 7, the laborer is worthy of his wages. And so Paul describes these as scriptures. So the Old and New Testament compose the Word of God. We are to preach the Word, preach it by the authority of Christ, knowing that one day we will be judged by Christ. And it will be a stricter judgment, more than most people will undergo, because of the responsibility that we are given in preaching the Word. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 again, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season. So we are to be ready in season and out of season. When it is an opportune time to preach on a subject, then we preach on it. When it is not an opportune time, we preach on it anyway to forewarn and forearm brethren about various topics, or because the Word of God needs to be preached and there may be opportunity created from our preaching that more good can come. And so whether there is a visible opportunity or not, we are ready to preach the Word at any time. 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, you, however, continue in the things, that is Timothy, in the things you have learned, and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so Timothy was to be ready to preach that word, not only to teach the word, but first, most importantly, apply that word to himself first, so that he might be saved and so he might have an influence for good among those to whom he taught, that he was teaching, and that they might be brought to salvation, that we all might be brought there. But many times we as preachers can forget to apply the Word of God, and we need to be reminded while there is life that we seek to apply those things first to ourselves so that we can be an influence to others as the Lord would have us do, and not only save ourselves, but help to save others through the teaching of the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12 through 16, let no one look down on your youthfulness, writing Timothy again, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. So watch yourself, Timothy, and apply the Word of God so that you might be an effective teacher, and that others might be persuaded to apply the Word of God themselves after they hear and believe. Be careful how you study and learn how to handle the Word of God rightly, so that in context you can teach people accurately the apostles' teaching in the New Testament, and not teach them that they should follow the law of Moses in their worship and in their service to God, because that would lead them to go back to the old covenant, which has been taken away by the blood of Jesus. And if we're going to learn how to worship and serve God, we must stay with the apostles' teaching in the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And then when you know how to teach the word of God and are applying it to yourself first, then at any time, publicly or privately, be ready to teach the Word of God. Paul, as he was going to, as a prisoner to Rome, on the island of Miletus, on the way there, he called the elders of Ephesus there to speak to them, warning them to watch themselves, because there would be corrupt teaching that would come from even the elders of that congregation and lead many people astray. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19, serving the Lord, Paul said, with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house. Many times preachers will say different things to different groups to get the approval of different groups, often contradicting themselves. But Paul said, I taught the same thing publicly and from house to house. He did not try to get the approval of different groups by contradicting the message. But he taught the same thing, regardless, publicly and privately, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, and now behold, I know that all of And now, behold, I know that all of you, among whom I went about preaching the kingdom, will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Paul said, I did not hold back anything in the Word of God from you. If you are going to be lost, it will not be my fault. I shared the Word of God with you. And that's what preaching is about, knowing that we might be dismissed from a congregation with which we're working, or that we are going to run into hardship or receive persecution from others, or our life may even be threatened. We go ahead and preach the Word of God. Don't hold it back, but patiently and lovingly preach the Word of God, that there might be an opportunity for ourselves to be saved and for those who hear us to be saved. Even when opportunities seem bleak and not the best, we are to be ready to preach the word. Even Paul, a prisoner in Rome, for several years kept preaching the word of God to those who came to him as he was chained to Roman guards under house arrest. He still preached the word of God. Acts 28 and verse 16, when we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. In verse 30 and 31, and he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. And so that is how we begin our lesson, but we note that many people do not have pleasant opportunities to speak the word of God, but under duress and under difficult conditions, we are to be ready to preach, no matter what the case may be. Preach the word in the presence of God and Jesus and by his authority. Preach the word, knowing that one day we will be judged by Jesus. Preach the word, being ready at all times, whether we have the right opportunity, the most optimal opportunity, or whether we have a difficult time where there may not be opportunity, we go ahead and we preach the word. And as we close this lesson today, we want to remind all who may listen or view this lesson at any time to encourage you to become a child of God, as the scriptures indicates, and not be deceived. by the many ways of salvation that are being taught that are really not ways of salvation, but the misguided teachings of men and women. In Acts chapter 2, the gospel was first preached. Jesus died for our sins after living a perfect life. God had planned it all along. Even though man's evil brought the crucifixion, but God's plan of love and redemption, buying us back from our sins, was his purpose for sending Jesus to the cross, who voluntarily went. Dying for the sins of the world, he was raised from the dead, seated now at the right hand of God after appearing to his disciples over a period of 40 days. They preached that gospel that the one you crucified has now been made Lord and Christ, anointed King, Jesus. And when they believed in Jesus, they were cut to the heart, knowing their sins and their attitudes, and maybe some being at the crucifixion, jeering and persecuting him. They cried out, "What shall we do?" And in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, "Repent, change your mind about your sins, turn to God, and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of your sins in the name of Jesus, by his authority, by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the salvation that is being brought by the Holy Spirit through this gospel message." That is how they became Christians, and about 3,000 that day submitted to belief, repentance, and baptism, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, as we read at the end of Acts chapter 8, verse 32 to the end of the chapter. That is how they became Christians, and that is how we must become a Christian. And those who tell us that baptism is not necessary for salvation are misreading the scriptures and misleading those who would listen to them. There is no sinner's prayer in Acts chapter 2. There is no sinner's prayer in Acts chapter 8. There is no sinner's prayer in Acts that we should follow. But when they repented of their sins, believing in Jesus, they confessed him as the Son of God, that he is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that he is Lord of heaven and earth. And they were baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of their sins. No infant baptism, no sinner's prayer, but just simply by faith complying with the terms of pardon that we read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. We would encourage you to respond and become a Christian at your earliest. We would be glad to help you if you contact us by text, email, or phone call. We would love to study with you by Zoom, remotely, if that were possible. We would be glad to hear from you at any time. Those who are already Christians, we would encourage you to continue to follow the apostles' teaching. Simply be Christians and realize that the Lord has added you together in his church as one saved body. Follow that apostles' teaching, not the denominational teachings of men. And as we fall short of his will, which we often do, repent of our sins, confess those to God, and pray to him for forgiveness as often as needed, is how we continue as Christians in his grace. 1 John chapter 1, Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 24. We would encourage you to think of these things and respond to the gospel message as soon as possible, as today we close our lesson for now.